Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 59. I am Jeff, joined always by Chris.
Yo.
And we have our special guest tonight, our friend Earl.
Shaken, not stirred.
And we got some movies to talk about. We're going to start off with one I have not seen, but both Earl and Chris have seen. It's in theaters right now. Latest Bond movie, Spectre. Yeah. Who wants to kick it off with some thoughts on it?
I could kind of give like a basic overview of what Spectre is. It is the fourth Bond movie to star Daniel Craig.
And the 24th overall.
Yeah, 24th movie overall. Did really well at the box office. Not as good as Skyfall. But
I feel like Skyfall is such an outlier in the franchise, though, because, you know, it's 24 movies, and it's the only one that's broken $1 billion.
Right.
I think expectations were high. I just don't see anything. It was the 50th anniversary. You had Adele with the theme song. There was just a lot of factors converging at once for Skyfall. It's good.
Yep.
And it was a good movie. Spectre's a bit more mixed, as we'll get into.
Spectre is more of a James Bond movie.
Yes, I say that and people get confused because this is, like, you know, Daniel Craig's fourth movie. But this is the first time he's redone a Bond movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's the first time he's played, you know, James Bond as we've known him from, you know, like the 20 previous films.
Weird. Like, all right, because what I know of him is he's like a womanizer, he drinks, and he's a badass, and he was all that in Skyfall, I thought. So I don't know.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. He's all that, but I...
All right.
I was going to say, I mean, I think with some of the characteristics that Craig isn't very charming. He didn't have as many one-liners. Like, he just had this gruff interior about him.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily just Bond himself. It's the environment around him. So with the three previous Craig ones, it was pretty much Daniel Craig as just Daniel Craig, where this one is a bigger support net with Q and Moneypenny and M.
Yeah, that's more of what I think when I say it's a Bond. Like, it was Daniel Craig. He's James Bond, but he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have the all the cool gadgets from Q. He doesn't have, and Q is hardly in the other movies. M, not like, she's there, she kind of gives directions in the other three movies, but it's not really a focus. Moneypenny really doesn't come in until like late in those early three movies. So this one, it is definitely like they make a lot of references to the fact that Bond is on his own, like, throughout the film, but he's always working like with the support staff that he's been given. He's off the reservation, but he has, you know, everything that you expect from a Bond movie as well. And it's not just, it doesn't all rely on Daniel Craig either to carry the film.
So does he have like crazy kooky gadgets? Because they kind of make fun of that in Skyfall. Like, in Skyfall, he has a gun and a radio. Like, that's it.
Well,
and says, what do you expect, an exploding pen or whatever, you know?
He has an exploding watch. That's something. He has a tricked out car that has, I mean, half the gadgets don't work, which is part of the joke, but it does have like rear fire and it has an ejector seat. But other than that, there's nothing, you know, there's no car that turns invisible. There's no watch
Jesus
that has
Christ.
A rappel rope in it.
I had forgotten about the invisible car.
There's no jetpack, so no, nothing too ludicrous and out there. But as a way to reintroduce it, it was nice that they went back to the basics, like the watch and the car. If they had gave him a fancy attaché briefcase, then we would have been set.
So, I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, in addition, you know, aside from that, there's also just kind of the return of the format. Like, you've seen Casino Royale and you've seen Skyfall, which are the two interesting ones to see. Because Quantum of Solace is actually closer than either of those two as far as a Bond film. But, like, you have the return of, like, a traditional henchman with Mr. Hinks, which is honestly the best one I've seen in, I would probably say, since Xena on a Top and GoldenEye.
Yeah, it's been years. Like, a long, long time.
Yeah. And I mean, and you know, the name, again, Quantum kind of paired with this, but kind of going back to this shady, shadowy organization. Now that's something you get more in the Sean Connery era with Spectre, but it was kind of nice to see it return, even though it's nice to see it return, but the way it's so ham-fisted into this movie is actually one of the film's detriment to the film's detriment.
Yeah, it's almost like they wanted to force a tie to everything, and it felt really forced. Like, yeah, all those spider webs are there, but keep banging us over the head with it, Inspector, that it
Yeah,
detracts a little bit from it.
what type of evil organization has an evil organization within it? And then they're like, oh, it's all connected. I'm like, but didn't Quantum kill the dude from the first movie? So, like, all you are working together, but you're just killing each other off anyhow? Yeah. And then, and then some of this stuff is just kind of it's nitpicky, but they wanted to make the connection. Like, you know, like, he's talking about, like, how he was responsible for the death of everybody. And I'm like, Vespa committed suicide, and M died by accident. So that's not, it doesn't seem like you're evil mastermind organization.
No, it's almost like I hope you don't really remember the other films too well.
It's like, oh, you remember they died, you just don't remember the exact details. I'm like, Vesper was the one who committed suicide by drowning, and M got hit by random bullet shot.
I mean, outside of that, I enjoyed Spectre quite a bit.
Yeah, I was trying to get a sense of where you guys falling on. What about you, Earl? Do you like it?
Oh, that's the funny thing. I'm a fan of it. It's extremely enjoyable. But for every good thing I can find about the film, I can also find something stupid about it. And to be fair, that could be said about most Bond
Yeah,
films.
that's kind of what I feel like. I mean, I really like GoldenEye and like the Timothy Dalton movies. But you go back and if you've really examined them, like, there's some cool stuff in it, but then, they're going down a hill in a cello case.
Yeah, it's like why is there a train station in the middle of nowhere? Like, they make a
Right.
point of saying this is in the middle of nowhere,
And
and it's not.
there's nothing on the radar except a giant crater with a built like not just a building, like a facility that you'd be able to see. That was really weird.
How did you guys like what's his face? Christoph Waltz.
It was okay.
Because I thought Javier Bardem was like pretty damn good in Skyfall.
See, this is, and we'll get it. See, this is what I'm talking about with looking at Bond films and trying to, like, for every good thing, you can also think of a negative. Like, I like him in Skyfall, but I rewatched the movie and I'm just like, what was his?
There's no point to him.
Yeah, he has no arc, he has no plot, there's no scheme.
He was just
It's
pissed off. He
yeah,
was
but
mad.
that doesn't make a compelling villain. Like, he's compelling because of the performance. But you sit down and you're like,
Yeah.
I
Like,
don't
what are
get
his
like,
motivations? He
yeah,
doesn't
what was
have
his
any.
end game?
Yeah, at least with Christoph Waltz's character, he has a he has an end game. It's crazy. It's back to being like, I want to take over the world.
Yeah,
Like,
which I thought they should have done a better job. I mean, I knew those two paths were going to converge. They didn't do a good job of hiding it, but I felt like they could have done a better job of connecting it throughout the movie, because there is a part in the movie where it just kind of, the momentum for both plots kind of stop. Not stop, but it's like, okay, they're just spinning their wheels until we connect the dots. And I'm just like, if you had made it more overt from the beginning, it would have made. But you know, it would have made both kind of interplay and build that tension. You could have even had like Bond exploring one option with his ragtag group back at MI6 exploring the other one, instead of just kind of being taken. You know, they're being played for fools.
yeah. And at the end, it's just like, oh, poof, here it is, and now here's the solution.
Yeah.
But we're gonna like put a really cool set piece in the middle of it.
And some really cool set piece. I mean, that beginning shot, the seeing, you know, everybody's doing it now, so it is kind of becoming less special. But that the I up the train fight, that was extremely brutal.
The train fight. I actually thought Batista was pretty solid in the movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, but part of that is because they give him nothing to
Yeah, he
say.
doesn't have to talk like outside of like maybe a couple lines here or there, but
I honestly think he only speaks once, and it's to say like, "damn it" or whatever he says when that thing happens.
yeah, 'cause they ask him to present his credentials and he kills that guy. He doesn't
Yeah.
ever actually talk. So yeah, you're right. He just looks menacing though.
And it's Russ just he's a huge guy. He has that build. He actually towers over Craig, who's actually a pretty decent, big guy himself. So that worked out. And it helped with the middle of the plot because Christopher Waltz's character pretty much disappears for like the middle portion of the movie. So it's built mostly Batista, and it's like this wild goose chase between him and Bond. Now, again, that was something I think they should have made more overt. And even when they draw the conclusion at the climax, they don't really make. I assume that he knows where Bond is at all times because they're tracking him via his. Oh, I guess that is the other get the weird gadget, the smart blood.
Yeah, so that they, Jeff, they inject Bond with nanotechnology, where they're able to basically he's like a human GPS, like and they can track him wherever he is. So I guess
No need for radio.
so that is a that is one of the other gadgets I guess they have.
All right, so I'm not trying to cut this short or anything, but where do you guys fall down on this? What's your verdict if you had to rate it out of five?
Do we do half scores?
I do. Chris doesn't. You do whatever you want. Yeah,
Then
you could.
I'd say it's a solid 3.5. That's not
Yeah.
solid, but
Yeah, I mean, I go four here.
yeah.
I came out enjoying it.
For a casual like me, is it a
It is more fantastical than Casino Royale or Skyfall. It definitely has more like it's more quirky. There's more kind of like there's a little more absurdity to it than there is to the other the ones that you've seen. But
Yeah.
I think you'd still have fun with it. Like the set pieces are really, really good. There's like a really cool car chase through a room. It just it plays with, you know, it goes back to having sort of a lighthearted feel to it in points. And I like that about it.
I would also say for Jeff, because he hasn't seen the others, like you may enjoy this more because you aren't familiar with the Bond formula. Or you may enjoy it, yes, because the Bond formula is so popular that a lot of other movies use it. I was with a friend who hadn't seen any of the old films, and like when one of the characters came over, he's like, "Oh, they just ripped this off of every other film." I'm like, "No, they modeled it off the original, but everybody else has ripped it off since then." And
One thing I would say overall though is like that I've seen three spy movies this year.
oh, you three?
It's possibly more, but like there are three that like are notable in my head right now. And it's like at the bottom of that rung, so
I've seen, I think, five or six, and I think it's right in the middle. I assume that the three you're talking about are probably the two I have ahead of it. If you're talking about Kingsman and Mission Impossible
Kingsman and Mission
5,
Impossible, yeah.
yeah. The other ones were Spy and The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, I haven't seen those two. I have them on my list to watch, but I haven't seen them yet, so.
So yes, it's right in the middle for those.
It's an insane amount of spy films for one
Yeah,
year.
it isn't insane that it kind of all converged at the same time. And it's also kind of funny because Mission Impossible moved out of December, so it wouldn't be in Bond's backlash, and it's gonna end up being a better movie.
Yeah.
I will just say this before we move on because I feel like it's my duty to say this with this film. The theme song actually absolutely sucks.
I
I
disliked the
like
intro. I hated the intro.
I did not like the only part of the intro I liked was when they did the flashbacks to the previous three movies. That was nifty.
Yeah, it was
But
just really weird. Like,
I don't know who thought Octopus was sexy.
that was strange. Oh, it was like it felt. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, this is tentacle porn.
Yeah.
Like, like there's a point. Like, Jeff, like in a lot of the movies, like you have silhouettes of women or even like naked women kind of just like posed tastefully. And in this, like they go that route, except they have like this weird black octopus like wrapping itself around her and oh.
Is this in like the opening
Yeah,
credits?
the
Okay,
like
okay.
after the opening set piece and like then it kicks into the opening theme song, which I didn't like either, Earl. But yeah, then ooh, so weird, so weird.
Well, two final notes for me off kicking off of that is I like the song on Skyfall. I think it's an Adele song.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was really good.
it's one of the best in the franchise.
And the other weird thing, I was just looking at the cast and crew for this, and I had no idea Sam Mendes came back to do this one. But I
Yeah,
find it
well.
strange that he brings Thomas Newman to compose, but no Roger Deakins
I think
for photography. Like,
he wanted to, but I think Roger Deakins was just really busy at the time.
that's like you need Roger Deakins if you can get him. The
Yeah,
guy's the best in the
that was one of
industry.
my biggest disappointments coming from, because Skyfall is absolutely the most beautiful film in the franchise.
Yeah, anything shot by Deakins is just, I don't care if the movie's dog shit, like it just looks good, you know?
And I mean, Spectre has its own charm, and it makes sense because Spectre goes for a much more desert look to it, so it doesn't make sense to, for it to be as exotic or colorful as Skyfall, but it is missed.
Yeah. All right, so it's actually sounds like a pretty strong recommend for you guys with a
Yeah.
little some caveats.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to talk about next? There's two recent releases. There's Trainwreck and Southpaw both came to DVD and Blu-ray recently. You guys got
Why don't you tell us about Southpaw? Because it's one that you've actually seen, so.
that? Southpaw, I think I heard it got mixed reviews. I kind of went in with not much expectations. It's a boxing story, and fight movie. I've seen some people like say it's just Rocky but shitty, and it's like I don't know, dude. I don't really see that at
Glowing
all. Like it
endorsement.
has it, huh?
That's a glowing endorsement.
Well, it's just like a lot of critics are like, this is just cliched, and you've seen this movie a billion times. And yeah, it's a little cliched, but it's like it's not Rocky, dude. It has its own story. It's about this guy who was kind of on the top. He was like a champ, undefeated, and his life falls apart, and then he has to come back from it. So, yeah, it's a cliched story, but that's not the story of Rocky. You know what I mean? So what it is Jake Gyllenhaal, who I think is the highlight of this movie.
Isn't he the star?
Yeah, he's the
He should
star.
be in.
Yeah, he plays Billy the Great Hope. He's like an undefeated boxer, and he's got this kind of rivalry going on with this other boxer who he's never fought yet, but who wants to fight him. And they're at an event together, like a charity event, and like kind of a scuffle breaks out between them. And accidentally, like one of the dude's bodyguards, like shoots Gyllenhaal's wife, and she dies. And that's like the beginning of the movie. I'm like, holy shit! Like that's a setup for a revenge fight if I ever saw one. But like, I wouldn't fucking wait to go into the ring to get this guy. I'd go like murder him and all his fucking crew. And it does kind of like there's like a moment where you think he's gonna go do that. But basically, from that like initial setup, his life kind of falls apart. Like he's drunk and on drugs and just kind of fucking up left and right, and he loses custody of his daughter because of that. And the movie is kind of like his redemption tale from there, like coming back, getting clean, training again with a different kind of trainer and learning how to fight like differently. Like he was a pretty reckless fighter who like fought with anger, and it's him learning to be like a skilled fighter. And you have fucking Kavanaugh, Forrest Whitaker, training him, which is nice. I don't know. I found it to be like enjoyable, despite the fact that you could kind of like guess where it's gonna go next the whole way along the way. I think that a lot of that is due to Gyllenhaal's performance. He's really good in it. 50 Cent is really good in it too, as like this scumbag like manager. He was like basically like out for money and nothing else. Like he plays it up good. Yeah, I don't know. The There's some problematic things to me about it because you want the end fight to be super personal because this dude essentially killed his wife. You know what I mean? But like the whole movie is about how he has to fight not personal, how he has to like control his anger and just, you know, be a good like skilled technical fighter, which is weird. So like you're going into this final fight, like you just want him to beat the living piss out of this guy, and it's just kind of like, no, you have to be good. And I don't know. But generally, I found it to be a satisfying fight movie. Is it the best one I ever saw? No. But it's also a good movie, I thought. So I'm gonna be conservative. I'm gonna say it's a 3 out of 5 for me. It's a definite rental for sure. Like if you like boxing movies, you're gonna enjoy yourself, I think. Good cast.
I think I'll wait for Creed.
Oh yeah, I'm excited for that.
I am too. I'm in the mood of a Rocky rewatch. So
Rocky Five.
yeah, let's not talk about Rocky
I
Five.
am one of the few people that likes pretty much all the Rocky movies. Like I even
I
like
like the
Five.
I like all the Rocky movies, but Rocky Five is really, it's
Here's
bad.
what I like about Five, dude, is that the fight at the end is super personal and it's like it's out in the streets. Like I don't know, there's something about that. Like I remember when I was a kid when the dude hit Paulie and then like I was like, oh, that's it, dude. You know, like I was like super into that. Yeah, looking back at it now, like watching it again, it's definitely the worst and it's cheesy as shit, but I just kind of love that street brawl at the end. And I kind of like the stuff between him and his son. However, his son was not very good actor in it.
No.
Well, that doesn't really improve a Rocky Balboa either. His son's just a jerk.
Yeah. So anyway, if you like fight movies, like rent it for sure. I thought Southpaw was good.
Okay. I guess let's talk about Trainwreck.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer. Judd Apatow, right? Like he directed
Yeah.
it,
I believe. Amy Schumer starring as
And
Amy. Isn't her
and
name
starring
Amy
as
in the
her name
star?
is Amy. Yes, her name is Amy in the movie.
Also important to note, she wrote the script, which I think
That
the
is
script
true.
is good. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll get into it. But yeah, so she basically plays like somebody that kind of just like throws herself out there. Like she lives hard, she drinks, she smokes pot, she screws every guy that she comes across, and
I
she
don't
doesn't
know.
really like attachments.
I don't know what the term is. He plays basically what a female womanizer would
Yeah,
be. Yeah.
basically. Like, I don't know if there is a term for that. I'm sure there probably is, but I mean, people have, you know, terms for. They have terms that they would
She's
call her. I
a
don't.
whore.
Yeah, but she's basically like she's living like the bachelor life, right? Like going out there and doing her thing.
Getting that dick.
I like how she like she kind of has this like code in her head, like where she doesn't like to like sleep over or have the guy sleep over. And
She's a total bro, dude.
yeah,
Yeah.
very much so.
I mean, and I think that's exemplified by one of my favorite performances in this movie. Her boyfriend at the start of the movie is
Oh,
John
John
Cena.
Cena. Oh,
Dude,
he
all
is
right.
so
I
good.
want. That's okay. I saw this when it first came out in theaters, so it's a little fuzzy in my mind. But the one thing I wanted to talk about was how good John Cena
Oh my
is in
God,
it.
he is fantastic.
The scenes between them in the first part of the movie, like the first half hour or so, are fucking pure gold. Like I was dying during the sex scene that they have, and just the scene of them in the theater where he's like, "I'll come over there right now and suck your dick" or some shit like that. He's like, "Oh,
Now,
like."
what was it? You know what I do to assholes? I ick them.
Yeah, I was pretty much choking to death during that entire movie theater scene.
I really like his willingness to poke fun at himself in that way. Like, I don't know. I thought he was a huge highlight.
The dude's girlfriend's going, like, I think he wants to fuck you.
Yeah. And then I think when he's breaking up with her, he's like, "I'll be the closest guy on Grindr."
Yeah, when they leave the theater.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to meet up with me later, I'll be the closest guy on Grindr. just like that's gay.
The best part, I don't know if I want to give this away because it's one of the funniest jokes. I won't give it away. It's just when they're having sex and he comes, that part I fucking died.
Well, the whole bit before it was just like talk dirty to me.
Yeah,
he's like giving phrases.
It's such a good punchline though. what makes him actually come in that scene is fucking.
Then he's like. He's talking to her in Chinese.
Hysterical. I think, you know, in general, I mean, I'll let you take over at this. I think it's a very funny movie. He's a great part. I also really like Colin Quinn in it as her dad.
They didn't give him much to work with. I don't want to spoil too much, but I do think that the scene, his big scene is the scene he's not in. I guess, and I thought that they used the emotion to that well.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. She gives a little speech about him, and I thought it was really good. But I like the, you know, he's painted it in broad strokes in just a couple scenes, but you get a good idea of that kind of dad, you know what I mean? Like, you know people like that, or whatever. Kind of like a racist asshole, but he's got a certain charm to him.
Sure. I mean, like, because you even see, like, basically, like, when she's giving that speech, she's like, he's offended everybody here, but he's also impacted their lives, like, positively. Like, he might be a jackass and a jerk and completely, like, has no respect for anybody that's not just like him. Like, he doesn't even really get along with his other daughter, but... you could see that, like, both of them really loved him, so it worked. That whole scene worked really well.
So what do you guys think about it overall? Like, you know, we all kind of agree on some of the like little nitpicky things here and there that we were pointing out, but
I mean, it was really funny and well done. I mean, it is still kind of a rom com in that, in its tropes, and that she finds the perfect guy and they have a fight midway through the movie and they make up and they, you know, the movie ends on a happy note.
I think it's about 20 minutes too long, which is one of my complaints about many Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah, I mean, I say that as well, but then I sit there and I'm like, every kind of individual scene I kind of, there's something I enjoy, so it's like, what do you cut? Stuff with LeBron? Like, that's an easy cut. You cut, like, the scenes with him and LeBron.
No, I like the stuff.
I thought that worked really well.
Yeah, and you needed something with him from his perspective. I think maybe they could have cut some of the drama with her and her sister.
Yeah, because their relationship isn't vital.
Yeah, and it doesn't really have the payoff that you... It doesn't really have a payoff in the sense, like, oh, okay, this is how she kind of matures and changes. It's just like, oh, they're sisters again.
Right. Like, oh, they stopped fighting too. Great.
Yeah. And stuff with her nephew. Like, I felt like that didn't go anywhere, really.
No. Like, I mean, yeah, actually, there's 0 point to him outside of, like, her ultimately getting her advice from him at the end. Like, when he's, like, showing her the book and, like, oh, well, this is where we're going to put the mattress for you and Aaron. Like, that's really it. Like, I think that's kind of when the light bulb goes on in her head. But
yeah, but I don't think they needed a contentious relationship to get to that point with him.
And, like, the whole... While it was... I thought it was pretty funny, the whole thing with the intern, I'm not sure that was necessary either.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I don't know, cracked me up, and it was the kid from, We Need to Talk About Kevin. I was like, whoa, that's really different, like, from the last movie I seen you in, so...
I was also going to say, maybe because I know him, he does not look 16.
Right.
I mean, he isn't that much older, but I'm like, I just kept on getting, is that the Flash? I'm like, okay, I guess it is.
Did you guys buy them as a couple?
Aaron and Amy?
Yeah, wait, was that his name?
The doctor, Aaron.
What's the actor's name?
Bill Hader?
Yes.
I don't know. I've always found, I found them kind of an odd couple. I mean, I guess that happens in real life too, people that don't really match.
They were an odd couple. I
Yeah.
mean, I think that was like he doesn't really understand why he's like into her, and she certainly doesn't understand why anybody's into her. So yeah, like they very, very different, but I mean they that happens.
What about the like problems that the relationship have has as it goes throughout? Did you buy all that? I'm trying to remember exactly like what the fight. I know it was some sort of
Was
insecurities for him, I think it was.
well
the
he
fight
yeah go ahead,
wasn't it
Earl.
that she had he had the big speech and she had to step out because her job called her the exact
Yeah,
thing.
her boss called her, and she was, I guess he had wrote the speech specifically for her, and she got up in the middle of it, like her phone rang and she got up and left, and then he comes out and she's smoking pot out the window.
Yeah, but doesn't he kind of throw that in there too? Like, you smoke pot and this and that, and like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with you, and.
Well, he at first he doesn't, like he's like, I don't, he like kind of throws like, I don't care that you smoke pot, I don't care that you drink, like I care that you like, I wanted you here for this, like, and you're so inconsiderate like of everything, and the one time I need you, like you weren't there. It's like he, then after that, like, you know, he fucks up with Amari Stoudemire, which was a great scene. He gets the general anesthetic.
Oh yeah.
He's like, that's not the right knee, man. And he gets up and tries to leave. But yeah, so he goes back, and that's when they break up theirs, because he goes back to Amy's apartment and just really lays into her because she had just sat around all day smoking pot and not caring about anything.
Oh.
I mean, you know, they speed up time too, like in that whole movie. Like they start dating, you see them do that, and all of a sudden it's like 6 weeks later or whatever. So.
Yeah, it was really weird though, because the thrust of the relationship is she's writing an article. How long did they give her to write an article about a
Right, that was the
sports doctor?
longest fucking article ever.
Huge exposé. Like, yeah, I don't know though. Generally, overall, I thought it was a really funny movie. I really like Amy Schumer. Like, and I didn't have a lot of exposure to her before this. I don't know. I really liked it. Like,
She's charming. Like
yeah.
she has personality to her.
I think she's a good writer too. Like, I don't know. And I think the jokes are really funny. So, I
And
don't know.
I thought the ending was really cute. It's kind of a play on the it's end of the movie with a dance number.
And it was funny because she just was like a lot of times when they have like a movie like that, and you know they have like the dance number or the big scene, like everything goes perfectly, and she is just like flailing along like with these cheerleaders, and then she face plants.
Oh my gosh, I died having that scene way too much. Like, I knew it was happening, but just the way she. I was just dying.
Smash. And then he goes over to her. She's like, did I get it? She's like, no, not at all. Most people hit a trampoline and they go up. Somehow you just went down.
My favorite scene and my favorite cameo in this movie was Marv Albert.
When they're doing the intervention.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what is he doing there? He's
Isn't
basically doing Marv Albert. Like,
that what he says though? He's like, what the fuck am I doing here? Or no? I don't remember. Or is he just doing Marv Albert?
He's doing like he's commentating on the
Yeah.
intervention the entire time. Like Chris Evert's like flirting with him, and like he's like Chris Evert going for the hard flirt. It was so absurd.
But like Earl was saying, I really think that final scene is really sweet and cute, and I don't know.
I
It
liked
gets
it.
the job done, and it's a little edgier and funnier than your normal rom-com. So I'm looking forward to watching it with my girlfriend. She hasn't seen it yet, so I don't know. I'd give it. I'm gonna go strong on it. I'd give it four.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best comedies I've seen in years.
At least this year, for sure, for me. Like, I think it's the funniest movie I've seen this year. So. What else do we have? We have the Final Girls, right?
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm gonna throw
No?
that out. Well, do you want me to set it up what it's about?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's basically this girl gets sucked into an old slasher flick that her mom was an actress in. Kind of like, it's like the last fucking slasher hero, essentially. She gets sucked into a fucking movie. And the movie is like her trying to reconnect with her mom, who's, died like a year previous in a car accident. But also like her and her friends trying to figure out how to get like survive the movie and get out of it. That's the general premise, if I got it right?
Basically.
Yeah, and for me, none of the jokes connected, like none of them landed. It had a glossy look to it that reminded me of 90s fucking horror movies. I thought that their like Jason stand-in looked stupid. Like I didn't like his
The
mask.
mask was dumb.
And the biggest sin, in my opinion, in the whole fucking movie is it's kind of like an homage and parody of slasher flicks, and it's completely bloodless, no titties. It lacks any of the things that it's kind of like commenting on. Like, it's a PG-13 ode to slasher movies. Like, I don't know. It did very little for me. The only part that worked for me was the emotional core of it, of her, she misses her mom, and this is like a chance for her to like run around with her mom for 90 minutes and, try to like essentially say goodbye to her mom. Like, that part works, but to me, nothing around it worked. And I know I'm probably an outlier in this because I've heard generally positive things going in. I was super excited to see it going in.
See, I don't necessarily disagree with what you said. I like the film overall, but my biggest thing was I think because we've seen so many of these recently, like the kind of throw up of old horror films, it's been done
Yeah.
better with Cabin
Oh,
in
yeah.
the Woods and Tucker and Dale versus Evil. So for me, it was just kind of disappointing. It's like we've seen a lot of these jokes handled better, and that was I enjoyed it overall, but my big takeaway was it didn't do anything fun with the format. It didn't really have, like you said, it didn't have anything to offer. Like, okay, this is why horror movies are goofy, and we're gonna play around with it and have fun. It's like, other than the actual final kind of the final girl thing where she gets magical powers, there's really not much to it in that sense.
Which that was actually the part I hated the most. I don't know. I think I enjoyed it more than you guys. I also didn't like Tucker and Dale versus, was it Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
Yeah.
I was not a fan of that one. Then yeah, Cabin in the Woods definitely plays with the tropes way more and does a better job of it too.
Earl's right though. This is like, and this is the kind of thing that's been going on since Scream, which I think
Sure.
is better than all of them. I think Scream's a better movie than Cabin in the Woods, even. So
Well, I think
it's
the Scream plays itself as like it's a parody. Well, not it's a
it
satire.
works. It still works as a
Yeah.
horror movie. That's the thing,
Yeah.
and that's what makes it great. Like, I just don't get, like, I didn't hate this movie, but it really did bug me that you're gonna do like this, commentary on slasher films and have like no gore. Like, what the hell is that? I don't know. Like, and so
I
all
don't
you're
know,
left
but
with is just
that's
the
not
jokes.
necessary. Like, I understand like where you're coming from, but I've seen plenty of like 80s slasher movies that like are so low budget that there is like zero gore.
Yeah, but this doesn't look low budget. It looks
I don't
glossy.
know. I didn't think it looked glossy. Like,
Well, I
I
thought the glossy,
yeah.
I thought, not the glossy, but it has like this soft. I thought that was just to make it feel retro.
Yeah, like I kind of I. So, I mean, there is like some definitely screen wipes and stuff that don't fit in, especially when they do the flashback. When they drop into like see Billy get turn into Billy, I guess. But yeah, I didn't really feel that it was like super glossy, like.
I don't know. It didn't. There's a very specific look to 80s horror movies, and I think it only gets it right when it's showing like the source, quote unquote source material in it, like the old shit. Like, actual old movies, but like the movie itself, to me, it looks like it came from 1999. Like, I don't know. And even like, it's kind of like the actors and everything too. Even though I like, that's the thing, it has a good cast. Like, I like a lot of the people in this, and like they're all recognizable, kind of, including your girl, Chris. What's her name?
Oh, Malin Ackerman, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually like both
She's
leads.
good in
Like,
it.
I like Malin Ackerman and Tessa Farmiga. I like both of them quite a bit in this. And the guy from Silicon Valley, who
Yeah, Adam Devine, I think he is.
I thought he was funny. Like, I almost saw it. I kind of wish they had played a little bit more with it, because, like, they kill him. Like, he's like the big horror fan guy,
He's the
and then.
Randy character,
Yeah,
you
they kill him like really early on, probably like halfway through the movie, and then they bring him back though to kill him again. I was kind of hoping that they would like just do kind of like a South Park Kenny thing, where he keeps coming back and he just keeps dying. So I thought when he gets run over by the car, it was hysterical.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I've just the thing is too is like the mood you go into watch a movie, and I think I was kind of like it was like a hungover day, and I'm like, let's knock this out so I can go play some games or whatever. And
Did you go in, like, I know you're not big on horror comedies either, so,
no,
like, did you go in knowing it was a comedy, or?
yeah, I kind of have an inkling of what the
Okay.
idea behind it was, kind of, but I think I went in with pretty high expectations as well, like just based off of. I think I heard Adam Sessler talking it up, and I was like, all right, I kind of respect this guy's opinions, blah, blah, blah. And
Yeah,
then
I
I go in
saw
with.
Sessler talking about it. I saw Cliff Bleszinski talking about it. That's actually where I heard about it from, so.
That's where I heard about it from. And I don't know. I just, I expected more out of it. Like, to
It's very
me
simple.
personally,
It's
I just. The only
a
thing that worked
thrill.
for me was the mom and the daughter. Like, that's that. The emotional core of it, I liked. Like, I really did like that, like how she, missed her mom, whatever. But it's just, I don't know. It didn't build up anything enough around it. I don't know. There's nothing else there for me that. And you're talking to like a big slasher movie fan here, and it was just like, whatever, dude.
And probably not the same. I actually enjoyed the tease of a sequel because horror films are extremely guilty of that.
Yo,
Oh,
yeah,
that's fine.
I really like the ending quite a bit, where it's like, oh, they all made it, and because they weren't in the movie, they all made it out, like they all survived because she survived, and then it's like, Camp Bloodbath 2. It's like, this is freaking absurd.
Yes. Just as a quick note, because you should not get these movies confused, there was another movie that came out this year called The Final Girl,
Okay.
and it's a stupid, stupid premise that is somehow even more stupidly executed. Like, the idea behind it wouldn't have been so bad if it was handled properly. The idea, like how you always have the one badass chick in a horror film who saves the day. So the idea was that like, this movie, they showed how they actually trained a woman to kind of go undercover. Like she was going to, she her purpose was to be kidnapped. Okay, like I said, the premise is stupid, and I still don't understand what the purpose was. They find some girl when she's like 8 or so, and they train her up to be a badass. And then you find out like her purpose is to sneak into like there's a bunch of teenage boys who are like taking girls to the woods and chasing them and killing them. And I'm just like, you know who the guys are, you know what they're doing. So you train somebody for like 10 years to infiltrate their base so you can kill them. And I'm like, why did you have to go through all that setup for this payoff? The payoff is awful. The fights are terrible, and the movie doesn't even make it to 90 minutes. So, not worth seeing. Just putting it out there so you don't confuse the two, like somebody in this podcast did. Not saying who. It's a PSA not to, to save somebody's free time.
Don't watch that movie then. I don't know. For me, I think The Final Girls is worth it. Is it The Final Girls? I guess it is
It's
The
the
Final
final girl,
Girls.
yeah.
It's
Because it's the mom and daughter, I assume.
Yeah, that's what I get from that. I think it's worth watching.
Oh, I think it's worth watching too. It's just not, like I said, it's not. I don't think it's gonna have the cult reaction that Tucker and Dale or Cabin in the Woods has, or Scream.
Sure. Yeah. So Jeff hates it. We know that.
I didn't hate it. I just didn't think it was. I don't know. I think I went in with too high expectations, maybe. But I'm definitely gonna kind of say it's a pass.
Okay.
I'd also say I'm enjoying this movement of people doing horror films in October video on demand.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very nice because don't need to necessarily run out to the theater to catch some of this stuff.
Yeah. Did anybody? I don't know if you folks talked about Tales of Halloween.
No.
No.
Oh yeah, that
What's
was
that about?
another one. It's a Halloween compilation.
Kind of
None of
like
the.
was it Trick or Treat? Was that one of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. And
Okay.
I think horror works really well in short stories because
I
you get
love it.
in,
Yeah.
you set up the premise, you get out without having to stretch it for 90 minutes or whatever. Because most horror films don't really make it to 90 minutes as it is.
Yeah, they barely get there usually. Yeah.
This is gonna sound contradictory because I can't remember too many of the actual stories, but I do remember like the overall package was really solid. There was only like two of them that I didn't really care for. But for the I saw this about a month ago. For the life of me, I couldn't tell you like what was what. This is what happens when you have like 12 different stories.
Was there like one that really stood out or no?
I mean. There was one. I mean, there's several that stood out. Like one that I remember is like there's like a perverted version of Hansel and Gretel, where like, Hansel's a witch and no, Gretel's the female. Okay, Gretel's the witch and Hansel's like her slave, and she's using him to lure kids into her house so that she can kill them and eat them. And he has a change of consciousness and stuff like that. There's another one which is kind of funny, and it has I don't know if you folks watched Smallville. It has Doomsday.
I don't know. I mean, I've
I
seen Smallville, but I don't
I
know
forget
what
the
this
actor's name.
is.
He's also an al not almost human, being human. He's like the vampire, but yes, and they like he's a crook, and their big scheme is to kidnap somebody's kid, and you find out the kid like the kid's actually a demon that he's like one of those demon who comes and he just kind of latches onto people, and the family that he was with has been stuck with him, so they keep on trying to get rid of him, and every time they get rid of him, he comes back, and it just ends like they dump his body in a river and they drive away, and it comes back. I won't explore what happens, but it's actually a fun little twist. So stuff like that's really fun. I forget which one I really didn't like. There was one that just stood out like this is just really boring and crappy, but I don't remember, so that's for the best.
All right. Jeff, what do we got on tap for next week? Anything?
Me personally, I will have seen Dark Places, which is same writer as Gone Girl, so we'll see how that goes. I read the book years ago, and I remember I really liked the book, so we'll see. And I will have seen a movie called Dope, and possibly San Andreas. So that's from my lineup for the next.
I've seen San Andreas, so I'll
Yeah.
be able to talk about that with you. All right. Well, thank you, Earl.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice to get somebody on that actually knows Bond, so.
And
had seen fucking everything that we talked about. So that was nice.
was just a weird coincidence. Because
Yeah.
I actually watched Trainwreck yesterday morning, and Chris was talking about, "Oh, I just saw this movie." I'm like, "Cause I think 'cause it came out on Blu-ray on Tuesday."
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, yeah," and it was. Surprising. It's very hard for me to go see comedies in theater, though.
I generally don't. I did see a Pitch Perfect 2 this
Oh
year.
boy.
My wife wanted to go see it. I actually liked the original Pitch Perfect, and I enjoyed 2 as well, so I think I might have been at it. Actually, no, I saw Vacation. That wasn't good.
I got that on my queue, man. Don't tell me that.
It's not good.
Really? Is it really that bad?
I mean, I didn't say it was that bad. I just said it's
Okay.
not good. Don't get your hopes up. Like,
I was hoping that was one of those movies that got reviewed poorly, but that is actually fucking hilarious because that does happen. Well, I guess I'll see for myself.
yeah, as I said, the only time that really seems to happen is mostly with stoner film, like films where the audience isn't necessarily your traditional reviewer or critic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I remember like Grandma's Boy that reviewed terribly, and I thought it was really funny, but I think it was like a lot of things like critics didn't get it, I think. But I don't know. But you just sometimes stick with like raunchy humor, sometimes they go against it. But if you look at like Trainwreck, that reviewed well, and that was
That
really
was pretty
raunchy, so
raunchy.
yeah, it's, I guess, yeah.
Depends on the humor, right? Like, I mean, and how smart it is, and if it's just raunchy to be raunchy.
Well, and the thing is like sometimes you can have like a really raunchy, dumb comedy, and it's like not technically a good film, but it's the jokes are funny, and it gets by on that. But like maybe it would review poorly because it's not a good movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but you're saying that it's just Vacation's just bad, huh?
I, it's just kind of there. It doesn't need to exist. I think that's probably more its crime than anything else. It doesn't bring anything new to that. So it's not a remake.
No, it's. I
It's a,
kind of
it's
like the
a,
fact that it's a continuation.
it's it's a, it's a sequel, but it's
Yeah.
like trying to kickstart it all off again. Like, except it's dumb. Like, we'll talk about it after you say it.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to wait a couple weeks on that because I don't know if it's out now on Blu-ray or not, but I'm on the Netflix schedule of you get everything a month late, so.
Well, when you get to it in, Christmas time, we'll talk about
Yeah.
it. Earl, how are you with Star Wars movies?
I've seen them all, if that counts for anything.
Because I'm thinking we might be blowing out Star Wars closer to The Force Awakens.
I
Oh, yeah.
I could partake in that since we're going to do a Star Wars retrospective series for the site anyhow. So I think we're starting with 4 this weekend, and for some reason they want to do 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6.
Yeah,
That's the order.
it's considered like what the special order or whatever, like the right order to watch them in.
I mean, it makes sense, and I've done 4, 5, 6, 1. Okay, I've already done 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. I've already seen 1, 2, 3 once. So,
What
and
is what's the order again? The weird order?
4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6.
Yeah. So you
Yeah.
basically get the reveal of who Darth Vader is, and then you get his backstory, and then you get the conclusion of the.
Yeah, it's like you kind of go into like a 9-hour extended flashback and then come back to the right.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is the order I'm doing for me and my girlfriend. 4, 5, 6.
That
Not
I put
bad.
that I
Yeah.
put that out there and everybody's like do 4, 5, 6,
Like, and that's it. Like, I'm not
or if
sure.
you do or if you do any of them do like do 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Almost everybody says 1 is completely useless.
Yeah.
Not completely. There are scenes in it that are worth watching, but as an overall film, it's not good.
I mean, to the story, it doesn't add, I don't think,
No, but I
much.
mean, like there are definitely scenes in that.
Oh, that Darth Maul scene's badass,
Yeah,
dude.
like
I
the
like
whole
that.
Duel of the Fates, like,
And of course,
fuck
it
yeah.
introduces the world to Jar Jar Binks.
Mmm. Who could forget?
I love the theory that is out there right now that Jar Jar is actually he's the Sith Lord that's pulling all the strings. I don't know if you guys have seen that one, like,
No.
yeah, that he is actually the match to Sidious, and that he may actually be the ultimate Sith Lord. Like, yeah, you have to look it up. It's hysterical, like how they go into kind of giving the reasoning for that. it's well worth looking up.
I'm so tired of fan theories right now. I mean, that sounds like a good one, but the whole Joker's like Tim Drake, I mean Jason Todd, and Ben Affleck's not actually Batman. I'm just like, fans are stupid.
I mean, I'm trying to kind of like go on a Star Wars blackout right now,
You
but
remember, I think you followed him, maybe not. You remember John Tilton? I'm surprised. I'm really curious to hear how he, because he's been like MIA from social media since like last November.
Who?
He used to do a podcast way back when, and yeah, he's a big Star Wars fan, and like last November, like when the first teaser came out, he's like, he's no longer gonna go on social. He's not. He's not
Oh
gonna be
my
on
God.
social. And I mean, I respect. I know he's popped up like once or twice, I think, for his birthday and stuff like that. But it's been insane because I mean, I understand going on blackouts and stuff like that, but disappearing for like a year.
That's dedication. And it's like, dude, all right, any of the trailers that have come out so far, I have not revealed really anything that's going to ruin the experience for you,
Yeah,
I
it's
don't
actually
think.
been really insane because I mean, it makes a ton of sense because of the secrecy they've been keeping. But I think they said today, or sites are reporting that they aren't going to do, they're not even doing like critic screenings,
Really?
which I think makes sense. I
Doesn't
mean,
need to.
yeah, at this
No,
point,
it doesn't.
nobody cares about reviews. It's one of those movies. Like I tell people this, and they get not mad, but it's just, oh, it took forever to show a trailer. I'm like, yeah, because you're not going to see this movie if they didn't show you a trailer. It's the same way people are saying Civil War doesn't have it. I'm like, is anybody not going to see Civil War right now? They don't need to sell you on a movie any sooner than they have to. Why waste money on it?
I am not gonna see Civil War, I'll tell you that.
But you didn't go see like the last Avengers movie either, did you?
No, but I watched them both and I hated both of them. I thought they're fucking shit. I'm sorry.
Okay,
Sorry, Avengers fans.
well, I mean, I was about to say you're in the minority with that because I mean, Avengers did 1.4, Ant-Man cost half a billion, so like,
No, I like the individual movies. I don't like the Avengers movies. Like,
I
I
like the
just I
first Avenger. I don't dislike the second Avengers. I'm just not huge on it as I am the first. And I'm curious to see how Civil War goes because I really do feel like they could have done a better job setting up the fight. And I think that's their problem. It's like they want to have a connected universe, but they also want to have these standalone movies, and you can't really have both at times because it's like if these characters are supposed to be fighting the next movie, they should fight more often. Like they fought in Age of Ultron, and they made up by the end of the film. Like it
Right.
seemed like they ended on good terms.
Yeah, it's like Tony's not going to be in charge of the Avengers anymore. He's going to back off, and Cap is going to, handle all that. I mean, I'm sure that there are ways that they can bring that back up, but they left as friends. Like, they certainly weren't angry at each other anymore, so. Oh well.
Meh.
That's for the summer though, so. That's a ways off before we get to that.
Well, I mean, May's right around the corner in a movie. I'm just
It
happy that
really is.
there's a lot of stuff to distract me between now. With all that
Oh
Nintendo
yeah.
stuff and games, I'm like, there's a ton of stuff for me to like count down to because it drives me nuts. Like, it's awesome that you know so many movies so far in advance. It's annoying when you know so many movies so far in advance.
And I kind of hate the way that Disney is handling like Marvel and Star Wars, like where we know the schedule for this stuff like years out. So
I'm okay with it. I don't know. There's always new movies out to like be excited about, I think, so.
Yeah, but there's movies there are movies that come out and then there's movies you're excited about. Like I'm excited to see Creed, but I don't think Creed has the built-in momentum that like something like Spectre
It's
had.
not an event.
Yeah,
Like, I don't.
it's not like, like I will go see Star Wars, but I'm not one of those people who's going to see Star Wars day one or anything like that. You know, for me, the next big movie's the milestone, Batman v Superman. But even between there, you have Star Wars, you have Deadpool. What is that one that came out yesterday? The trailer for something nine.
I don't think I caught that one.
Purple
You know
Nine?
what I'm excited for? Hateful Eight. That's my event movie, besides Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, Warcraft looks good.
I thought Warcraft looked exceptionally good. I was scared that movie was gonna
It's really
look like
weird
garbage.
because I am weird to be excited for three different video game movies next year. So,
Hopefully none of them.
hopefully one of them turns out well.
Yeah. My
On
dog,
that note,
my dog is saying end that. So, Danny, shut up. All
Darth
right.
Danny.
Yes, we'll be back next week with more movies.
Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.